Again, it's a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord, and it's an awesome thing. So, I let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm excited, Father. Thank you for your word today, and Father, I would ask that you'd help me to bring across, Lord, Psalm 84 in a way that brings glory and honor to you, Father. That you would just ignite our hearts or engage our minds, Father, to your word. Let us just lay aside the things of the weak, Father, that can easily distract, Father, and let us just hear your word today. And Lord, I realize, Lord, without you I can do nothing. And Lord, I'm just a guy, a man who is preaching your word. But Lord, it's the Spirit who causes growth and conviction and brings people to the truth of your word. So I ask that he would have reign in this place. Lord, that you just meet with us here. I thank you for the beautiful, beautiful day and the privilege of being in your courts today, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 84 this morning. The word says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You may be seated. So thinking, how should I start Psalm 84 this week? How should I address this? This is quite a psalm. It's an amazing psalm that we have here. I just asked this question this morning. Why are you here? If you pray, why do you pray? If you read the Bible, why do you do that? You know, is it out of duty, or do you feel you have to do these things? And if you don't, do you think that God will be mad at you? I hope not. I hope that's not where you are in your thinking. My hope is that we desire to pray. My hope is that we desire to be students of the Word, where we read the Word of God on a regular basis. My hope is that we desire to give of our resources and our time, and that we desire to preach and teach the Word of God, the gospel message. My hope is that we desire to serve, that we desire with all of our heart to be in the place where we can worship God, and that there's excitement every time we come to church. Okay, well, that's how I wrote down my introduction. Whew. Now, the psalmist who penned this psalm is thought to have been David. And it is thought that he wrote it during the time that he was fleeing from Absalom. And it became a psalm that was sung as a worship song during three festivals, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also the Feast of Booths. And so, written to the sons of Korah, you'll see that in your proscription there, They were descendants of Levi. That's who the sons of Korah were. They were gatekeepers and musicians in the temple in Jerusalem. And this psalm teaches us really the excitement or the joy, if I could say it that way, that a person would have as they journeyed up to Jerusalem during those feasts. Then going into the temple to celebrate before the sovereign king of the universe. So this is why David wrote this psalm. And so to him, there was no place on earth so special as that one place where the Lord had chosen to place his name and to demonstrate his presence to his people. That's got to be the place I need to be at. That's David's heart. It was David, if it was David that wrote this psalm, and they believe it was, we have some insight into his heart concerning his love for the Lord and the love for his tabernacle. Oh, that's the place he desired to be most, in the presence of his God. And so that's there my introduction. Why do we come here every Sunday? Are we excited to come here every Sunday? That we would be in the presence of God. Now, before you go any further with that thought, we know that the Lord doesn't dwell in Jerusalem's temple anymore. And he's not about it's not about the building, is it? But that he dwells in us. We are the church. I know that. So let's look at some verses that will just reaffirm that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We are the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And not we just at Rathrum Bible Church, folks. All right? The body of Christ is worldwide, of which you are part of. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to move here through these verses fairly quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That power resides in us. We're earthen vessels. Isn't that an amazing thing? We are his church. We are his body. He indwells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. The word says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We go on back to the book of Galatians, Paul writing to the believers in Galatia. Go back there, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. By the way, look in that verse. Where does God reside? In us. He is in us. Galatians 2 verse 20 would say it this way. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who moved me and gave himself for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now all those, just to show you, where does God reside? In us. And I get that. And I know that. And you know that. He's not in the temple in Jerusalem anymore. And this building is just a building. I get that. But yet there is something exciting about getting ready all week to come into this sanctuary to worship my God. There is something about it. Walking into the presence of God. Now, yes, you can do that in prayer. I get that in our own studies. But this is an awesome thing, folks, that we can come here. Now, I want you to look at what the psalmist, how he starts this psalm. How lovely is your tabernacle? Your Bible might use the word dwelling place there. O Lord of hosts, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. Now here's a man who wasn't able to go to the temple. He's being hunted for his very life. Yet he's the king. And what does he want? I love your tabernacle. Look how he says that. Look how he says that. Verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle? Some would say that means, I love your place of worship. I love that tabernacle. Not just as lovely, but notice the passion he brings here as he desires to meet with God. Now, I'm looking at this week and I'm thinking, Dan, do we have such a passion for God when we worship on Sunday mornings? We have a passion maybe when we come here, but does the passion start on Monday? I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to be in the presence of God and the presence of His people. And this is David. I don't mean something, you know, having that passion to worship God on Sunday mornings. I don't mean something people do so others will notice them or to be impressed by some kind of show, but bringing your mind and your heart and your will prepared to fully be engaged in the worship of our God. It's opening up the hymnal and saying, not just singing it, but going, what are you saying to me? You're not just going to start talking to me, Lord, when Pastor Dan starts preaching the word. What does the song say? My mind's engaged. My emotions are engaged. I'm looking, this is all about just getting rid of all what's going on around me and thinking about my God. Oh, and to be in the presence of the Lord with His people. That's what David wanted. And he couldn't have it. Do you know how privileged we are? Look around you. There are countries in this world, they don't have this. But when they get together, there's such a desire and a hunger for God. And they got nothing. Oh, folks, we have everything. This is an amazing gift that God has given us. Let's use it wisely. Let's not be grumblers and complainers about everything that comes across our plate. Let's start saying, God, I love you. I thank you for this place. It is a gift. And I can't wait to be with you in this place. See, the psalmist's soul longs for God in the same way that we long to see the one we love, with great anticipation. Men, do you still look at your wives like that? Wives, do you look at your husbands like that? Let me tell you what, if you don't, it'll reflect in your worship. If you have no desire to be around that one who is one flesh with you, make no mistake, you're not going to really want to be around God. Amen? That's my wife! I love her! I can't wait to get home to see her! Oh, I can't wait to not be with her! I can't stand being without her! That same love that a man has for his wife, should have for his wife, and the same love and devotion a wife should have for her husband, is the same love and devotion David's trying to get us to see for God's house. Oh. His desire, his love was to be in God's presence with his people, giving praise to him. That is what the psalmist loved. That is what he looked forward to. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having such a desire to be? Now, I'm just going to use this term because I know we're the church, but to be in church. Can you imagine what that might look like? If we actually love to come to worship? See, the Christian of today should possess the same desire, the same passion, the same hunger to go to church as the psalmist had to go to the temple. If not more so, since Jesus is the fulfillment of all those feasts. the reality of the times that we live in is that the love of many has grown cold. And the love of many, they love the world more than, I'm talking about our culture here, than God or the things of God, and allows for a lukewarm love for Him, rather than fainting in the courts of God. Look at this. Let's go back here. Psalm 84, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Yet, all the things that made the tabernacle special to David ought to be the same things that make the church and where we meet special to us. All through David's life, he showed his love for the house of God. And he exhibited this desire to be in it all through his life. If you go back to 1 Chronicles, go back here to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Let me get there. Verse 3. 1 Chronicles 29, 3. Moreover, well, let me start in 2. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood. Look at this. Wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones in various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. That's a great verse. But David said, you know, I gave of my own resources. I give of my time, my labor, my effort, my resources. Why? Because I have to? Because I love it. I love it. This isn't just something we can get good goosebumps over. He loved to meet with God. He loved the place to go and worship. And he put his life into that. Oh, that we would do the same thing for the house of God. Psalm 80, 18, verse 1. Well, here's another psalm about David. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you. Now, where was he going to show that he loved God? Not just the things he did, but he'd go into worship. Going to be with him. David would say this in Psalm 37, the first four verses. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His righteousness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Part of David to do that was, I got to be in the temple of God. I got to be in fellowship with Him. David was a man who loved the house of the Lord, and he longed for it when he couldn't be there. And again, the question is, am I like that? Are we like this? Now, I realize the Lord is always with His own. I realize that God dwells with those that are His. I also know that He has promised to meet with His people when they gather together and worship Him, wherever they're at. But for the Jewish person, the temple was a lovely place to go because it was where they could meet with God. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That was the Jewish heart before Christ ever came. Of course, now we're in that temple of God, aren't we, through Christ? We are in the house of God, aren't we, through faith in Jesus Christ. But that longing for that fellowship, I want to be there. Look at how they felt. Psalm 42 in the first four verses. Psalm 42. Listen to this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. This is David. This is a lot like what he's going through as he wrote Psalm 84. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. He's going to talk about that in just a minute in Psalm 84, that pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But that's what David used to do, and I miss it. I miss going with the masses into the place where I can worship God. Psalm 63, go there, verses 1 to 2. O God, you are my God. Early I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in where? The sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Psalm 65 verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Psalm 87. You getting the idea that the Jewish people loved going to the courts of God? Psalm 87, verse 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Oh boy, that's a place that they love because God loved it. Psalm 122. Verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. I was glad when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. See, the psalmist can't wait. Just like the Jewish people, he can't wait to come before God and worship Him. So intense is that desire, as it said, he faints in the courts of the Lord because of it. That's a strong desire to be in God's house to worship God. Perhaps David remembered that the saints had forgotten what the saints of God had forgotten. Perhaps he remembered that the house of the Lord is an oasis in a desert of this world. Perhaps he remembered that the house of the Lord is a safe haven from the storms of life. I can't wait to get into fellowship with God. Can't wait to be around His people. Whatever thoughts occupied David's mind, when he thought of the house of God, folks, he became excited. How many of you get excited that you get to go to church? I mean, this is different than excited. This is, my mind is focused on that. I'm consumed with that. Wow. He longed to be there more than anything else in his life. And this might be inspiration for us. You know, are we longing with the same desire to be here? Now, go on to verse 3 in our text this morning, Psalm 84, verse 3. I'm thinking, man, God, this is awesome. This is so awesome that you would do this in this psalm. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praised. I'm thinking, okay, now you go from, I can't wait to be in your courts. My heart and my flesh cry out for that to happen to the living God. And now I'm talking about sparrows. What are you doing here, God? You know, so I'm thinking about that this week, and you know, the sparrow and the swallow were often, or even still are, thought of as worthless birds. Who likes sparrows? Now, granted, you like birds. I get that. But sparrows or swallows, are they annoying? You said, no, they're not. Yeah, they are. All right? Now, the reason I'm saying that is because they are. They're messy. And in many cases, listen to me, they're unwanted birds, folks. That, you know, they don't just come one at a time. They come as really uninvited guests, filthy birds. Now, you see, they came needy, looking for deliverance, sometimes from the environment, the enemies. They build nests around your house. They're looking for that place of shelter for food. You've seen swallows in action. They don't stop moving. They're fast. And they display really restless activity. They do. The only place, and really these sparrows become a picture of what? Us. Because the only place the restless will ever find rest is in Christ Jesus. Jesus spoke of the rest of that they would find. If you go back to Matthew chapter 11, now follow me in what I'm saying here. Matthew 11. Verses 28 through 30. Jesus speaks of the rest that we will find. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Jesus, just remember that here, and I'll get back to that. But Jesus recognized that the sparrow was a symbol of insignificance, didn't he? Sparrows can, you know, they can represent those who don't feel, or those who feel they aren't worth anything. Remember what Jesus said? Go back to Matthew 10 and look at verse 31. He uses these birds as being insignificant, but of great value. Right? Doesn't he do that? So Matthew 10:31. Let me back up here. Are you not, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Right? Do you remember what he said in Luke 12? Go to Luke 12. Verse 36. Luke 12, 6. And again, I'll start in verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. So here's these verses about the sparrows. If sparrows and swallows have found a home in the courts of God according to our psalm, let's go back there. Isn't that what David says? Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So if the sparrows and the swallows have found a home in the courts of God's house, if he has not turned them away, wouldn't God do the same for those who come to him? Because if you're looking at sparrows and you're thinking, okay, the most worthless bird is a sparrow or a swallow. Now, I'm not talking about his any of his creation, but how man looks at things. Well, if that worthless bird that's just up there making a mess in the temple of God, if that God doesn't shoo them away, what's the picture here, folks? Even the most worthless thing is allowed in the courts of God. Look at John chapter 6. Go to John 6, verse 37. John chapter 6. Are you glad? Because as I heard somebody say, we're no different than those sparrows. I'm the most worthless man probably ever walked the planet. You say, no, that's me. But nevertheless, where do the worthless go where they can be accepted? To the very courts of God. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Aren't you glad about that? Some of us are like sparrows or swallows. God didn't cast them out. He's not going to cast us out. Look at verse 38 to 40, down to 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I don't care if you were worthless or not. In Jesus, anyone can find acceptance and rest. The sinner is invited to come to him. Romans 10:13 declares that. Back here to Romans 10:13 and then on to Revelation 22. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Look at those swallows and those sparrows are going into the courts, up in the rafters to find what? Salvation. Deliverance from what? All that was against them. And they found it. He doesn't just talk about sparrows because he's liking birds. There's a point to this that David's making. Revelation 22, verse 17. Back to Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord for his salvation. There is room for all who come. And there is plenty of provision in the Lord for all who come to him. Thank God that the sinner can find rest in the house of God. And I'll tell you what, that's where we want this place to be. That a person that walks through the doors of Rathdrum Bible Church can find peace with God. Not quarreling. Not all the things that men do and people do. Can they see Jesus in us? Psalm 84, verse 3. Notice here that says that the swallow can lay her nest even in the altars. At his altars. That blew me away. Why would you say that? Well, I just told you what I think. He's talking about these sparrows. And now God, they're just not laying their nest and flying around at the pillars are up in the rafters. But now they're at the altars. Wait, hold on here. I'm thinking about that this week. I say, is that not a great picture of the worthless now having access to the living God? For the New Testament believer, this is even more a wonderful reality if you see this, folks, because Hebrews 4:16 says what? Those who were once worthless, look at this. Go back here to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You who are worthless, me who are worthless, can now, because of Christ, at his altar, what he did, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Go over to Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. Listen to this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. That's an amazing thing. That's a whole nother lesson. That curtain that hung there in the temple that separated the holies for the most holy place was a picture of the flesh of Christ. Did you know that? It is that curtain that separated man from God. Jesus, that curtain is a picture of Christ. When that curtain was rent, Christ was crucified, he died, that curtain was rent. And now you have access to God, folks. Jesus is that curtain. And you know what? What's really cool is he showed his disciples, Peter, James, and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's as if he's on that mountain and he goes, let me show you something. But you don't tell anybody till after I've come out of the grave. Right? Let me show you this. This is who I am. Oh! That's amazing! He kind of pulled that curtain back. He said, let me show you who I am. And they showed him in his glory. Folks, this is a great, great passage. Listen to what he keeps on saying here down into this in 19 to 22. And having a high priest, verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, if the sparrow or the swallow can go right up to the altars of God, right into the presence of the Lord, can't you? Can't a bird who was considered worthless and of no value find a place of rest in the house of God? Can't you? Boy. Amazing. The psalmist is making reference to those. Now, if you look down here in now verse 5, it says, or 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they will still be praising you. Here, David, the psalmist, is making reference to those who really are serving in the temple of God. You know, and so he's they are blessed people. They are blessed people because they had constant access to God's sanctuary. They're not like me out here running for my life and I can't wait to get there. They are blessed because they're there every day. They get to be in the presence of God every day. They have access to God's sanctuary every day. They are blessed because they never have to leave. They are singing and praising God because they can worship Him so readily, folks. They are blessed. I'm thinking of that and go, aren't we? He saved us. Saved us in a salvation that He will keep us in. And people, we never have to leave the sweet fellowship of our God. We choose to. But we don't have to. We are a blessed. That word there means happy. We are a blessed people as a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. You sing for joy over such a privilege that you never have to leave the courts of God. We should. Most of us, most people today, not most of us, but most people today can't wait to get on to something better. What's better? Oh, I can't wait to get home. The Seahawks are going to lose again. Just because I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. That was free. The psalmist here repeats the word blessed again. You know, where blessings from God will be given to all whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. You know, I'm thinking, okay, a pilgrimage. What's a pilgrimage? That's right. That's a journey, right? So happy is the person that gets to take this walk from all over Israel on these three feasts, and they're going to go through this this place called the Valley of Baca. Now, nobody knows where that Valley of Baca really was. Nobody could really pinpoint that today. But it refers to this Jewish pilgrimage where people are flocking into Jerusalem for these festivals. They're leaving homes with a sense of anticipation because they are expecting to meet God. So they walk the dusty roads here, passing through this Valley of Baca, anticipating that at the end of this trip, God is going to be able to be worshipped. I get contact with my God 3 times a year. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. What's God going to show me? What's God going to do? There's such anticipation and joy in the people as they start this pilgrimage. The word Baca refers to balsam trees, which existed only in arid desert situations. So that you got to get the picture here. A harsh passageway that these Jewish pilgrims would pass through to get to Jerusalem. They would trek through this dry and arid valley, which offered very little water for tired and thirsty pilgrims. Okay? Now, not to say that there wasn't water there, but I think the psalmist is saying something a lot different than just, oh, you know, they were refreshed or strength to strength because they got water to drink. Notice what these pilgrims do. They make it a spring, a place of springs. The rains also cover it with pools. Now, how do these people do that? They're going up in during the autumn season. Now, there was autumn rains. But I don't think that's what he's saying. Well, all of a sudden they come across a pool and they were able to get their strength to make the journey. I think what the psalmist is saying, because springs refer to water or life, and the word pool here means blessings. See, the pilgrims endured tough and difficult times while they traveled to Jerusalem, but they did it with a positive, determined spirit of anticipation. See, I think what's being said is that with this spirit of anticipation, they made the Valley of Baca look like springs of living water. In other words, they a place of joy. What should be a place of despair, they were so excited to get to Jerusalem to worship God that they're singing praises all the way. And I don't care if I'm in the desert because what's there, what's coming, oh, I can do this. They were probably taking water with them. So I think what he's saying here, look, I am going there and I'm going to go through some harsh places to get to where God is, but I'm going to go and I'm going to go with excitement. People, how many hard things do you have in your life? They're nothing compared to what waits when you come into the presence of God. That's the heart of these Jewish people. That's the heart of David. And I love verse 10. Let me jump down to verse 10. Oh, by the way, just so we don't leave any of this out, it says, verses 8, 9. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Okay, those are shield and anointed are both terms they use for how they would describe their king. Okay? So what he's saying here in the midst of this is he's praying for who? Who do you think David's praying for? Himself. Okay? Himself. In that he said, oh God, behold your shield and look upon the face of your anointed. The shield and anointed is what the Jews would call their king. Shield because he was their protector. Anointed because he was picked by God. He's simply saying, I can't be there, but have your face shine upon me. I want to be there, Lord. Have your face shine on me. For a day, then he launches right into this. I love this verse. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Okay? Now think about that. A day, just one day in the courts of the temple of God, is in the very presence of God, is better than 1,000 days anywhere else, especially in the tents of wickedness. Would you agree with that? One day. belonging to God, one day being part of His family, one day in the presence of God, one day with fellowship with Him. One day is worth all of what I tried to accomplish in my life. One day. That's why I get people say, I've tried Jesus. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You tried religion. But oh boy, Jesus is a lot different than religion. See, the psalmist would rather work as a doorkeeper in God's temple than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In other words, he loves being in the presence of God so much that he would rather work as a servant in God's temple than dwell in the ease in the tents of wickedness. Father, and just think about that. Think about that and how that might apply even today in our walk with Christ. Now, why? You got to ask this. Why would David say that? Notice his answer. Why would I rather have one day with the Lord than a thousand in the tents of wickedness? What's his answer? Well, look at this. Like this, his answer is verse 11. For Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blesses the man who trusts in you. So he answers his own question. Like the sun, the Lord is always with his own. He is always providing comfort for the journey. He lights our way. He gives guidance to us all the time. Like the Lord, he also is called a shield. He provides protection for us. So David's saying, because of the wisdom of God, because of the protection of God, because of the provision of God, because he watches out for me, I would rather experience that one day than be a thousand days or a thousand years in the tents of wickedness. And not only that, because in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can find grace. Notice that's what he talks about. Grace and glory. We have help for today, which is grace. Amen? We have hope for tomorrow, which is glory. Oh boy, oh boy. Because of that, because my Lord offers grace and glory, I want to be one day with Him is way better than a thousand without Him. The Lord delights in providing for the needs of those who are His. Oh boy, does He. Now that God that David describes, that God, is he worthy to be praised? Is he worthy for us to come even today into Rathrum Bible Church's sanctuary to praise him? Yes, he's worthy of that. And that's where our hearts and our minds should be thinking about. And we should leave here with almost a sense of despair. Let's say anticipation. What's God going to do next week? What's God going to do? No, when we meet together again. I can't wait. But your heart has to be there, folks. Has to be there with anticipation of what God's going to do. And not stuck in the worldly little quibblings that people do. We got to get out of that and into something greater and bigger. Look at this. Blessed or happy is the man who trusts in you. Amen to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. What a great psalm. Father, I pray we would have such a joy, such an enthusiasm, such an excitement to come to your courts to worship you. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Father, change me. Father, change me. Father, change me. Lord God, change me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.